Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. Let's come in and have a seat, and we will begin our worship. We thank you for joining us this morning. It's a great privilege to be here, and we praise God for the great blessing of worship. Here's what the psalmist says, and I'll let you just quiet yourself. Think about God. Listen now to the Word of God. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 104. He says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. Let's worship today, and let's be glad in the Lord. A couple announcements before we move right into our worship. We do praise God for our Sunday ministries. Just a reminder that today at 11:30 we'll have a prayer meeting, and the focus of that prayer meeting would be for our nation. So we invite you to stay. Not sure how long that will last, but we'll gather right here to the front of the church at 11:30 or 15 minutes after we end our service, and we'll have a prayer time. You can look in your bulletin sheet just for normal announcements, Wednesdays, ladies' Bible studies, things that are happening normally in ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. We're planning an all-church Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday, November 15th, after our worship. And so plans are being made right now for that dinner, and we want to do this wisely and carefully with serving our food and seating. So what we need right now is an approximate count for attendance and preparation. This will at least help the ladies as they're beginning to prepare for that. So if you'll just raise your hand, by raising your hand saying, we're going to be here to Thanksgiving dinner, and if it's going to be three or four people in your family, let these guys know. Tim, if you'll count that side, and Fred, if you'll count this side, and they'll give us a total, that'll help the ladies. Just raise your hand if you plan to attend, and that'll help us. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. That'll help the ladies even as we plan and prepare for that Thanksgiving dinner. We're looking forward to that. What a great blessing to worship our God. Fred, let's worship. Come.
Good morning. I'm so glad that God gave us the one more beautiful day. When I say beautiful day, it is not because outside is sunny day, but I like sunny days. But it's not only those. It is because it's beautiful because God, in His grace, gave us the opportunity for praise Him, for worship Him. And this is the moment. This is the beautiful day. This is the precious, wonderful, fantastic day for us. Stay together and worship Him. So, please, stand with me for start our worship service this morning. Sing the song, He Has Made Me Glad.
I will enter His gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
One more time, with all this joy.
I will enter His gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Amen. May be seated, please. Thank you. If I ask you why we rejoice, and the song says, because he has made me glad. But what God make for you make you glad? Because he made us, he gave us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm so confused about the schedule. I know Pastor Timmy reminded everyone yesterday about the clock in Mario Kart. Okay, what time is it now? What time is now? And I talk with, and I don't know the reason, my sister called me, and we talked for several minutes, and we talking about my older sister, and my sister says, she does forgive me for everything, and sometimes she make problems between our relationship. And in this moment, I remind this, how we can forgive one another if we don't understand what the forgiven means. We don't understand what forgiven means. And I try to explain this for her. God knows what forgiven means. He forgiven us through Jesus Christ. And Paul write this for us in Ephesians. We need forgiving one another like God forgiven us through Jesus Christ. We understand this. We need forgive one another like God forgiven us through Jesus Christ. This is the reason today that we are glad and rejoicing in the presence of God. Through the suffering and death of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Forgiveness means it is done. It is settled. It is sent away. It is released. Forgiveness is giving away the right to get even. That is what God does to us when we trust in Jesus. And maybe it's the point when I talk with my sister about Jesus Christ. How God forgiven us. And maybe my sister don't understand this because she doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. By his grace, he no longer holds our sins against us. Our chief verse today are the words of Peter in Acts 10:43. Look what Acts 10:43 says. This version in New American Standard. Says, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. Who believes in him? In him, in Jesus Christ. This is how God gave his grace, show his grace, and forgiven us. So take this moment, bow your head. Take a few seconds in prayer. And how God make your life glad and through Jesus Christ. And I ask my brother David Martin for prayer, please.
Father, thank you for this day that we have never seen before. And thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be able to think and reason and be rational in our reasoning. To realize that through your word, you promise forgiveness. You promise forgiveness. You are a promise keeper, dear God. We can trust you. And there's no greater display of the faithfulness of our God than the display of your Son dying on that cross to forgive. That upon him was the wrath of God revealed. Justice was revealed. Retribution took place on the cross. That every sin that was due you, that was due those who sinned against you, every infraction, every idle thought that was against you, every imagination of the heart to do that which is evil and wicked in your sight, was punished on the cross. From the vilest of sinners, from the things that we cannot even imagine a person would do, Jesus absorbed on the cross. So when you tell your children to forgive as we've been forgiven, Lord, we need you to help us to look to Calvary. Because on that cross, the greatest price was paid. That God himself would become our sin so that we would become the righteousness of God through the love of our soul. Father, we thank you. We need your help. Sometimes we, even in our own thinking, sometimes assume that those who sin against us cannot be punished enough. And you would have us to be mindful that it's not vengeance that we should take, but that vengeance belong unto the Lord. And you remind us that we should forgive as we have been forgiven. Lord, help us. Help us to set other people free so that we won't encage and imprison ourselves, so that we would be free indeed, according to your word, and so that we would rejoice. Before we can be glad, we have to first see ourselves undone and unrighteous in your sight. And if you can forgive us, who are we not to forgive others? Help us, O God, so that we can do that which you require of us. And we realize, apart from your Spirit, it is impossible. But faith in you and in your word, and trusting that your Spirit will give us the strength we need and the minds that we need to forgive as we've been forgiven, we know only then are you glorified. We thank you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Paul says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness assumes grace. If I am endured by you, grace lets it go. I don't get revenge. It's hard to think about we don't get revenge when you play sports, but this is how can you show grace. I remind me for many times when I play soccer, somebody injured me. In my mind, next opportunity, wait. And for many times I receive red card for those. Go out. But I don't understand what grace means. I don't understand what grace means when God no save me. But now, when we understand, we don't retaliate. We say, I forgive you. Grace gives what someone doesn't deserve. The basis of our forgiveness of sins through Jesus is the grace of God. God did not have to forgive us. Do you understand this? I know I'm stopped completely, but Sometimes we need thinking about this. God did not have to forgive me and you. Because how we forgive one person, when I make something wrong with somebody, what happened? I need ask for forgiving. And God don't make nothing. But God forgive us. God was not compelled by anyone or anything to release us from that of our sin. He did it freely by his grace. What wonderful grace that is. Wonderful grace of Jesus, number 155.
Of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free for the wonderful grace of Jesus.
Of Jesus. If we put our faith in Jesus for salvation, God no longer holds our sins against us. This is the testimony of God throughout the Bible. I call Mitchell for read some passages.
Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Colossians 1:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses.
God truly, completely, and absolutely forgives the sin of those who come to him in faith through Jesus Christ. Completely, truly. So stand with me and sing My God is a Righteous God, number 175. Song. Amen. You may be seated, please.
But this forgiving causes a problem. Justice cannot be forsaken. A crime or a sin may be forgiven. But what about justice? All sin is serious because it is against a holy, righteous God. His justice will not allow a sin to go unpunished. That is why Jesus suffered and died. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness costs us nothing. Nothing. Our obedience, submission, and service is the fruit, not the root of forgiveness. That is why we call it grace. But it cost Jesus his life. This is why we call it just. How precious is the truth that God does not hold our sin against us. How beautiful is Jesus, whose blood made right for God to forgive. May our hearts be filled with our continued trust in the God who forgives us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's go sing at Calvary, 363. Where?
Calvary.
At Calvary. the place and the Christ give his blood for forgive us. Give his blood for pay for our sin. There, the just of God. God made justice there. Amen. So my brothers, now it's time for offering. So please no stand. I only remind you, continue to remind you about our plates. It's still in our foyer. If you have your offering, please put your offering before or after our worship service. We doesn't play past the plates now yet, but only for a reminder. And say thank you for your offering and is still faithful for God. But I want to only go back to Isaiah, because this passage Isaiah, maybe we spend more 2 Sundays, because it's the chapter 6 in Isaiah. Maybe you know what happened in chapter 6 in Isaiah. In the chapter 1 through 5, we see Isaiah receive some visions and receive some prophecy and promise from God, but now Isaiah has the wonderful vision in the temple. And in this chapter, we can saw 2 things important. Who God is and who we are. When we stay looking from God, we understand how sinful we are. In this moment, we look only what Isaiah saw in this vision. Look what Isaiah 6, chapter 6, just says. In the year the king Isaiah died, and I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings, with 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's really interesting, we look at this passage, there's only these 3 verses. We have here a bunch of things for talk, but I don't have time for talk about everything. But only see, when you look at this passage, you can define who is our God. Because this passage says 1 thing important, our God. Who is our God? Is holy.
Amen.
It's not only holy. He is 3 times holy. We see the scripture. The scripture says God is 3 times love. Sorry, no. We see in the Bible that God, the Bible says that God is 3 times righteous. No. But our God is 3 times holy. This explains he is, I don't know how can, because I don't have words for explain how holy is our God. But this shows us how our God is. How is he has relationship with the sin. The other way, he don't have a relationship with sin. Any kind of sin stay in front of him because he is holy. It's interesting, we look in this passage because we remember in the Exodus when Moses talked with the small tree, and what happened with Moses, God says over him about his feet. Be careful, this place is holy. And look, when we look at the seraphim, we hear seraphim cover his face, because in the other moment with Moses too, Moses asked God, let me see you. No, we can see me. Stay behind here, this rock. When I pass, we can see only my glory. And you look at this angel, cover his face too, because he can see the glory of God. My brothers, it's interesting when we have certain kind of relationship with God is not a proper relationship with Him. Because we see the seraphim have the right relationship with Him because they understand what God is. They understand what God is. They don't come to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to look for your face. Okay, God, I'm going to put my feet here close. No. God, we need to understand. We need to have the right relationship with Him because He is holy, holy, holy. We can talk with God like everything. We can have a relationship. Okay, I have a relationship with God today. Maybe in the next 2 weeks I have a relationship again. No. We need to understand that this relationship is a serious relationship with Him because He is holy, holy, holy. My brothers, God gave us the privilege, relationship with Him. But please, don't misunderstand what this relationship with Him. God gave us how we walk with Him. We can decide how we can walk with Him. He gave us how we can walk with Him. So please think about this. He gave us forgiveness. He forgiven us. But this no give us the right for decide. I have to decide how I can walk with you. No. He is holy. He is God. He has power. He is graceful. Yes. But He is just. He can make everything, because He has sovereignty. He has power in His hand. So think about your relationship with Him. Think about your relationship with this God. This God. Because we have only one God, and this God is our God. Let's go pray about it. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you because you are our God. Not because we decide worship you or praise you, but because you decide save us. You decide give us your Son. But God, help us for walk close to you the way to praise you, the way to worship you, the way to bring glory to you, God. Is not glory for us. Oh God, we ask forgiveness because we make bad decisions every day in our life because we choose many times our sins. We choose our desires. But we need to choose what are more important for you, Lord. What is more important for glorify your name. And Lord, thank you, because every day we give us your grace, we give us your mercy. And Lord, help us. Help us for put our eyes in you, put our heart in you, guide our lives for glorify you every day, Lord. In this moment, in this morning, I ask you for our time for the message of your word. You lead us for heard. Your serve, Pastor Tim, for preach your word, for change our hearts, for walk with you every day. Thank you, Lord. And I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
volunteers. As the volunteers come up and help me sing, I want to give the history of this hymn. Alfred Akeley wrote this hymn in 1933. He was a Presbyterian minister, and he helped Billy Sunday for a couple years at evangelistic meetings. It was at an evangelistic meeting that he met a young Jewish man, and the young man kept saying, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" And it just really bothered Alfred Akeley, and it stuck with him. And then on Easter morning, he's getting ready for church, and he turned on the radio, and a liberal preacher from New York was on there, and he said, "Good morning, it's Easter, and I don't care if Jesus is alive or dead." And it made him so mad that Alfred Akeley threw the radio across the room at the wall. And he went to church and he preached why it's so important the gospel is the resurrection and that he is alive. He comes home that night and he's still really bothered by it. And he just can't sleep. And his wife says, "Why don't you do what you do best? Go write a song." And so he went to the book of Mark and studied the Lord's life and his death and resurrection, and these words just started flowing out of him. It's one of his most popular hymns. He wrote 1,500 hymns. And I want to remind everybody, no matter what happens this week, if the worst thing happens, we serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today, and we know that he is living, no matter what man may say.
Am I missing some? Okay.
Salvation to impart.
Good morning. No children's church this morning. I know that's a hard thing for some parents, but there's no children's church today. I would have you to turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 34. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. And it reads, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother laid sick with a fever, and he told him about her at once. Hold on. And he's supposed to help me to read. I'm going to start over again. Verse 29. "Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother laid sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And a city, and the whole city, was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick and with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word, my beloved brother.
I was reminded as we were worshiping just how weak we truly are. And what reminded me of that is that even in the midst of many songs and much scripture, how easily my mind could go someplace else. And how we desperately need God's help when we worship. And so that's one reason that we have much scripture and many songs to just help us to focus. And I praise God for that. We need his help now. We have his word before us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer right now as we study this passage together. Let's pray. Father, we need to acknowledge our great need for you. And God, we would be quick to say that we need you and your work of grace in our lives for salvation. And yet, God, I know clearly that it goes on and on and on. That there's not a moment, there's not an hour that goes by. Each second, God, we desperately need you. And even as we come together and you've moved in our hearts and we're gathered here to worship today, and Father, we've done that, and just help us to stay focused on you even now as we look at your word. And we thank you, God, for the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. And we thank you, dear God, that his work was sufficient and complete and total, and that he took all that we deserved upon himself. And therefore, by his action for us, that we have been declared righteous and our sins have been sent away. And yet, God, each day we struggle with this indwelling sin, and we desperately need your continued work of grace. Help us to look to you, to trust you, and to depend upon you. And Father, help us now as we look into the gospel according to Mark, and help us to see Jesus and be changed by this sight and hearing of our Savior. And God, may you be glorified as you work in our lives today. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I want you to think this morning about the word compassion. Compassion. It comes from two Latin words. The word com means with. Passus means to suffer. So think about it. Compassion. To suffer with. So sympathy and care and sorrow and tenderness and kindness are all words which describe compassion for those who are hurting and those who are distressed and those who are suffering. When I think about compassion, I'm afraid that we live in a world today where we see less and less compassion and care. And I believe that one of the great losses in our society and culture right now is the loss of compassion. And folks, we can blame it on politics and we can blame it on our leaders, but this loss goes right to our own hearts. Living and giving and showing compassion is not an easy thing. But for the follower of Jesus Christ, it is a vital thing. In our study of the gospel according to Mark, we see Jesus, the Son of God, as the servant of God. And God has given him the authority to serve, and he has become our example of service. In other words, Jesus Christ shows us how to serve. And as we study the gospel according to Mark, I want that theme to just continually run through your minds, that Jesus is showing us how to serve. And almost immediately in Mark's record, we see clearly that Jesus serves with compassion and sympathy and kindness and love. And we see it in our passage today. In these words by Mark, we now have an opportunity to examine the compassion of Jesus as he served, and we also have the opportunity to evaluate our own compassion as we serve. And so the question for us this morning is this: do we serve with compassion? You see, we see compassion in service in several aspects of the ministry of Jesus. Do we serve with compassion? Do we follow Jesus? Now, where do we see this compassion in the life of Jesus in our passage this morning? So let's look now at our passage, Mark chapter 1. I want you to notice first that Jesus showed compassion in his place of service. Look at verse 29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now, previously, in Mark chapter 1, we learned that Jesus and his disciples had entered into a synagogue in the city of Capernaum where Jesus taught the people. Now, in the course of this teaching, we touched on this last week, in the course of this teaching, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit from a certain man. And folks, that in itself is an act of care and compassion. And Mark tells us that all the people were astounded and they were amazed at his authority and his teaching. And then Mark says in verse 28 that his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. And then we come to verse 29. And what we see here in verse 29 is that the compassion of Jesus did not stop when he left the synagogue. Now, the synagogue was a great place to serve. People gathered together. And so service took place. It was a good place to show care for people. And yet, It's not limited to the synagogue. Now, we bring that to ourselves today, and we have to say very clearly that we have the mistaken idea that service to our Lord or our love and compassion for people is confined to the meeting of the church. And frankly, it's not true. It's a good place for that to take place when people meet together. And it makes sense and it's reasonable. But it's not confined to this place, this building where believers meet, nor to this time when believers meet together. You see, far too many believers leave the church meeting on Sundays or Wednesdays and they say, well, I'm done, my service is complete. And frankly, you don't hear people saying that, but oftentimes our hearts will say that. And the fact is, this can be a place and time of service, but it's actually more of a time and a place of preparation for service. Reminds me that the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he, that's Christ himself, gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And so my point in this first part of the passage is simply this, and I think we see it clearly, that Jesus took his service with him. And how do we know this? Well, Jesus and his disciples, they left the synagogue and they traveled to the house of Peter and Andrew to rest, to eat. And there they found Peter's wife's mother laying sick with a fever. Literally, the word that's used there is a fire. In other words, she was burning up with fever. And they told Jesus, and without delay, Jesus went to her and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left. He healed her sickness. And folks, think about it. It had been a busy day for Jesus. He had taught in the synagogue. He had cast out a demon. But his care and his compassion is not switched off when he left the place of worship. He took it with him. And there in Peter's home is one who was sick and one who was suffering and one who needs compassion. And he served her. He loved her and served her. And so it begs the question, see, here's where the application comes in. Do we take our compassionate service home with us when we leave the meeting of the church? Do we take it to our place of work? Do we take it to our neighborhood? Do we take it to our families? You see, that's the lesson that we see with Jesus. There is no limit to care and compassion. Our compassion in service can't be kept in a neat little box. But just as God's love and compassion is boundless and limitless, so should ours be. And frankly, folks, I praise the Lord for this body of believers because I often see and I often hear those actions of compassion. It might just be a kind word that someone speaks. It might be just a few words before or after the worship service. It might be a short visit to someone's home. It might be a phone call when the days are difficult. It might be a little project for a widow or running an errand for someone who was sick or just an act of kindness for another believer in need. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of that going on within this body of believers and you don't see it. You don't know about it, but it's happening. It's going on. But between believers. And see, and those who receive the compassion, they know about it. They have received it. And folks, there are many, many ways that we can show compassion to others. We just need to open our eyes and open our ears and open our hands to serve. And I want to emphasize to you, even as we think about this moment in the life of Jesus, I want to emphasize that there are many, many ways to show compassion. So we need to be careful. Don't place your expectations or your identification of compassion on others, because compassion can be as varied as the people who give it and the people who receive it. So step back just for a moment and look at your compassion and care in service. Jesus shows us first that there are no boundaries. There are no limits when we serve. Now look at our passage. There's a second aspect of his service with compassion. Notice that Jesus also showed his compassion in his time of service. Look at verse 32. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now think about this just for a moment. In the evening time, when the sun had set, when the Sabbath had ended, the people of Capernaum brought to Jesus all who were sick and all who were demon-possessed. And folks, it had to be a huge crowd. Verse 32 says that the whole city was gathered at the door. Now think again about the situation. It had been a busy day for Jesus. There was worship, there was teaching, there was casting out demons. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And I know that some of you men are thinking right now, only Jesus could do that. But he did it. He did that. And now at the end of the day, a busy day, it's time to rest. It's time to relax. And then the whole town shows up. The whole town comes to the door. Can you imagine how you would respond? The whole town shows up. Now let me tell you a secret that's not really a secret, but service and compassion and care cannot be put on a schedule. And oh, how we want to put it on a schedule, how we want to put it in a certain time frame. You see, this is what I call preaching to myself. See, it's a want to keep it at a certain time, or a desire to, this is when I do this, this is when I do that. And yet what we see with Jesus, it doesn't work that way. Verse 32, the word brought means to carry a burden. Burdens don't keep schedules. They don't happen when we want. And Jesus didn't try to keep them on a schedule. When there was a need, there was compassionate service by Jesus. So again, I challenge you to think about this. Think about the record that Mark gives us here. The Sabbath ends at 6 p.m., and no doubt Jesus stayed up very, very late to minister to these people. In verse 34, we're told that he healed disease, he cast out demons, he wouldn't let them speak. The word many that Mark uses there means that all who were brought, he served them. And folks, that's compassion, love and mercy and care. And none were turned away. Jesus gave his time. Jesus gave himself to serve others. And that reminds me of Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And I believe that that's one of those verses that give us the theme of the Gospel of Mark. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And again, this begs the question in application, are we willing to serve like this? Are we willing to make ourselves available when people have needs? I have to smile about something that happened a number of years ago. I was teaching on the subject of sharing the gospel, and there were many people who were listening. I could tell they were very interested. They needed it, and they wanted that. The phone rang one night after we went to bed, and it was one of the guys in the church that had worked a night shift, and he was all excited and happy because he had shared the gospel that night to someone. And I got excited and happy too, because he talked about his experience, and I just praised God and blessed God, and I patiently listened as he went into great detail of what God did on his night shift as he shared the gospel. And it was a great blessing until I looked at the clock, and it was 2 a.m. when he called me. And that put the damper on my excitement for a moment. But see, Jesus shows us here that there's no schedule. There's no timetable for service. And it's true compassion that serves whenever there are needs. Look at our passage. Because we see, number three, that Jesus also showed compassion in his priority of service. Look at verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now, folks, do you see this? Despite the hustle and the bustle and the demands of service, Jesus had his priorities straight. Early the next morning, remember what had happened the previous evening. He had ministered all day. In the evening, the whole town shows up. He stays with them. He's preaching and he's healing and he's ministering to these people. Early the next morning, despite those late hours, he rose long before daylight and went to a solitary place and he prayed. You see, I think that Jesus knew that no service can be accomplished that is pleasing to God apart from a close fellowship with God, and Jesus needed it desperately. You know, we would not often think that the Son of God would need that, but see, he's our example. And he spent that time in prayer because he needed that time with the Father. And one reason I believe that he needed that time, he needed direction from the Father as to where to go and what to do. Because, see, there were always people following Jesus. There were always people demanding that he would do this and do that to supply their needs. And he needed the direction of his Father. He was close to his Father. He showed that fellowship through prayer. And so, again, by application, it causes us to step back and to examine our own times of prayer. And frankly, folks, finding time to pray is not easy, but prayer is a vital link between us and God. And without prayer, there is little strength or little power or little compassion, even as we're speaking about this morning. And we will not effectively serve the Lord and others in care and compassion apart from prayer. Jesus shows us that. Now, Jesus was busy, but he set aside a time for prayer. He knew that prayer was a priority. Now, before you think, "I just don't have time to pray. I don't have time to spend a focused time in prayer," I would simply ask you this. How do you use your time? Think about the hours in a day and just ask and answer yourself, how do I use my time? And as busy as Jesus was, remember, he's the God-man. As busy as he was, he got up early and he prayed. Now, I don't think the main focus is that he got up early to pray. You can pray at any time. But I think there are benefits to that, but Jesus gives us a good example. I often use the expression concerning priorities that come back and just hit me right in the face. People do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. So listen carefully. Prayer is important to God. And if prayer is important to you, you will pray. You will pray. And your compassion and your care is shown when you do the important things. See, Jesus had his priorities right. Look at verse 38, because there was another priority for Jesus, and we see it in these words. Verse 38, but he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So Peter found him. Remember, Jesus went to this solitary place, a deserted place, and Peter found him. And maybe it's a slight rebuke by Peter, but Peter says to Jesus, "Everyone's looking for you." Now see, I put some emphasis there, but perhaps it was there. Where have you been? What are you doing? There are people who need your message. There are people who are demon-possessed. There are people who are sick. Everyone's looking for you. Where have you been? But Jesus knew his purpose. He knew his mission, and his priority was to preach the gospel. And so he says, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there. This is my purpose." Folks, this is something that stands out in the Gospel of Mark, and you will see it throughout our study. Jesus was purposeful. That's why we see that word immediately oftentimes in the Gospel of Mark. He knew his purpose. And brothers and sisters, he would not deviate from that purpose. He knew why he was sent. He had good news, the gospel of the kingdom. The good news is that he is the Messiah, and that forgiveness of sins could come through him, and he would preach that gospel. He would share that. And so when he went to one town, then he would go to another town. See, his purpose was in mind. He was dedicated to that purpose for which he came. And it's also here that I believe that we see his great compassion, because he came to give his life a ransom for many. And by sticking strictly to his mission, by being dedicated to his God-given purpose, Jesus showed great compassion. He would proclaim the good news. He would share the Word of God. And again, it moves us for application. Service without prayer, without a vital fellowship with God, someone said, is hypocrisy. And service without the gospel, or without the Word of God, without truth, is apostasy. And so if you truly have compassion in service, there'll be prayer and there'll be sharing the Word of God in your ministry. See, that's true service. And then finally, look at the next aspect. We see that Jesus also showed compassion in the risk of service. Look at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed, and he, Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once. So as Jesus went about preaching, he was approached by a leper. Leprosy is a disease of the nervous system. It's contagious, it's disfiguring, it's incurable. There were physical and social consequences. So lepers were isolated, they were separated by the law. No Jewish person could contact a leper or touch a leper. This man comes to Jesus in great faith, in courage, in humility, asking to be made clean. And look at verse 21. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." You see, folks, Jesus was willing to take the risk, to face the danger, to put himself in jeopardy for the sake of this man. He was willing to sacrifice in his service. He was willing to get close to the untouchable and come near to this one who was separated and love this one who was unlovable. What that means for us today in application, I think simply is this: there's always a risk in compassionate service. Always. See, people may condemn you. People may get the wrong idea about you. People may turn against you. They may hurt you. But it's worth the risk. And let me tell you about a greater risk. The Son of God, God the Son, took on human flesh. One writer said, he put on human street clothes. In other words, he became a man. He took on human flesh, became a man, and joined our world. And when he did it, think about it, he knew he would die. He knew exactly what he would go through. He knew he would die, but he was willing to take the risk for all those who were in bondage to sin and Satan. And in the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, and being found as an appearance of, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And why did he do it? Why did he do it? For you and for me. Do you want the clearest manifestation of compassion in service? It's Jesus. He's our model. He's our example. And he was willing to take the risk. And again, the question for us this morning is this: are we willing to take that risk? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself? Are you willing to be hurt? Are you willing to face danger? Jesus showed compassion in his service. So how did Jesus serve? He served with compassion. And in this passage this morning, I think very clearly, we see compassion in his place of service, compassion in his time of service, compassion in his priority of service, and compassion in the risk of service. Now again, let's end now with these questions. Are you serving others? Are you serving with compassion? Perhaps this is the big question. Are you following Jesus? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this record written by Mark. We need reminded of who Jesus is and what he did. And Father, we need reminded of his daily life while he served and ministered here on this earth. And Father, we need reminded that he is the God-man, and that he came for a purpose, and his purpose was not to be served, but to serve. Help us, Father. Help us right now, even in this moment, by your Spirit, to look at ourselves. And God, help us to answer the question, am I following Jesus? We commit this to you. We trust you will work in the hearts of people today. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And it continually amazes us, Father, how you can take your word and you change the lives of people. So we ask that right now. For God, we all need changed. We all need to grow. We all need to become more and more like Jesus. Father, if there's anyone here today who's never placed their faith in Him as God and Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Save them, Father, I pray. To You be glory and honor and praise as You work now in hearts. And we thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's sing together. 548 in your hymnals, 548. Words are on the screen. 548. May close by simply saying this: give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Another way to say it is this: make me like Jesus. Change me and mold me and shape me. Father, make me like Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, Father, that that's Your purpose. And that we can become like Him. Let's glorify Him, love Him, and submit to Him, and serve like He served. Let's bow our heads right now.